Welcome back to Season 3, Episode 18 of My Favorite Conservative. The reason I'm doing this cold intro is because we had some technical problems when we tried to live stream the episode yesterday. First of all, it would not live stream. We're not really sure why. And then we decided to just record it. And somehow the recording got cut off when we were at our favorite segment, This Week in Woke. So we apologize. We hope you still enjoyed the show. It's really good up until it gets cut off. And just wanted to give you this cold open. And if you're wondering why I'm so hoarse, I've actually been sick for 6 weeks with this viral infection that I just can't shake. But that's why I'm super hoarse. But again, we have a great show for you. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
No, stop. Really?
No, I'm not, but he is my favorite conservative.
Thank you.
And I want to say before we jump into the topic that we planned on live streaming today to all the channels we usually live stream to, but it just wasn't working, folks. I don't know what to tell you. It was not working.
So technical issues.
We had some serious technical issues, but otherwise you'll be able to see this on all the channels, and we're just going to move forward.
I apologize to all of our fans that tuned in for our live broadcast yesterday, but hopefully this will suffice.
I broadcast yesterday.
Well, this is dropping Monday, right?
Oh, that's right. Yes. Thank you. So, yes.
By the way, we're back from our vacation, and Andrea still can't shake the cold, whatever she
has. Cold, sinus infection, virus. Yeah, I just, I'm a little low in energy, and I sound pretty hoarse.
Usually, a week at the beach cures a lot of ills.
I know.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it did not.
Okay. By the way, you're looking so tan, too.
I know. Yeah. So much color. Okay. I don't tan. What do I say?
You don't.
Okay. So tell us, a lot's happened.
Right? A lot has happened in this last week since we've been gone, but we did have a show last week that from the beach, which was wonderful. But let's get into it. What do we want to go with?
Yes. So we always start each show from now until the election with the latest polling. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into it. The Real Clear Politics RCP national average. This is now, of course, Trump versus Harris. Biden is officially gone. Last week, Harris was up 1.2. Now she is up 1.5. So on the national scale, it's trending the wrong direction if you're a Trump supporter.
It is. But let's look back in history, though, and put this in perspective, because back in 2020, Joe Biden led Donald Trump at this particular day of 7.4%.
Wow.
And in 2016, Hillary led by 6. So with Harris being up 1.5, it's certainly not insurmountable.
Yes. Yeah. And let's jump into the battleground states.
The battlegrounds, yes.
So, yeah, I'll take the East Coast.
Okay.
So last week in Pennsylvania, Harris and Trump were in a dead heat. Now Trump is up a whopping 0.2,
okay.
Well within the margin of error. Last week in North Carolina, Trump was up 1.2. He's still ahead of Harris. It's dropped slightly. He's now up 0.9. And Georgia, Trump is exactly where he was last week. He's up 1 point over Harris in Georgia.
Okay, let's go to the very important Midwest.
Very important.
Let's start with Wisconsin. Last week, Kamala was up 1.0. She maintains that 1.0 today.
Just like Trump in Georgia,
similar. Yes.
Yes.
And let's go to Michigan, where last week Harris was up 2.1. She's up 2.0. So not a lot of change there.
No. And that's trending in the right direction, I think, because I think Michigan's going to end up being more important than Pennsylvania. Just to call it a gut feeling. Take us out west.
Let's do it. Let's go to Nevada first, where last week Trump was up 1.3. He's now up 1.4. And in the very important state of Arizona, last week, Kamala was up 0.2. This week, hello, cat. Trump is up 0.2. So basically a half a point swing there into the Trump camp.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's pretty significant. So, and then on Predict It, again, one of my favorite sites, I can never say it right the first time, predictit.org, where people bet on the races. Last week, it was Harris 58, Trump 44. Again, this is actual money, not percentages. Harris has dropped down to 55. Trump has picked up those extra 3 points to 48. So it's tightening up among the gamblers as well.
It is. It is. And, you know, looking at these numbers here, especially in the battleground states, not a single state is outside the margin of error.
No, they're so, not. So it's
going
to be.
It's going to the wire.
It is.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So let's go over what happened in the world of politics last week.
What if I told you about not hitting things?
I get animated sometimes.
Yes, he does. And yes. He hits things. The desk, yes. The mic.
Well, not you.
Yes. No. Okay. So the biggest story, obviously, was the Democratic Convention Monday through Thursday. So we're going to just give you the highlights and try to touch on maybe some things other people haven't said yet. So the first night was Monday, August 19th. What was the theme of that night?
Well, that was a goodbye to Joe.
It was.
Yeah.
It
was. The fearless leader. You know, yes. I think every left-wing outlet, but I repeat myself, said he was just selfless and only pulled out because he loves America.
Come on. We all know Pelosi twisted his arm. We all know she made that happen. What I like, what you noted here, is that he seemed to be on the same meds he was on at the State of the Union because he screamed his entire speech.
The entire speech.
We stopped watching. I mean, we're going to be frank here about what we watched and didn't watch.
We were, about 10 minutes into it. And I said, you know, he's been screaming the whole time, right?
Yes, and it was late.
Yeah, let's see how long he screams. And until we went to bed, he was still screaming.
And he went on late.
Well, that he actually went on after midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight Eastern, 11, where we were.
That's kind of shocking.
Well, that is, they had no idea which meds were going to be kicking in.
Okay.
Right? So
that's true.
And somebody in his diminished mental capabilities and the problems that he's having, their sundowning effect, right? Of which
that's why I can't believe they put him on.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you put him on as early as possible?
Yeah.
And obviously they were afraid of what was going to happen, that maybe he might have one of the glitches where he just stands and stares and his mouth is open. So,
yes.
It was, to me, it was just kind of a sad affair where Nancy Pelosi is now in more and more interviews is revealing a little bit more each time on basically how she shivved him, you know, and twisted the knife when it was in and basically said, my way or the highway, you know, you can go quietly. We'll talk great things about you. We'll make sure you're taken care of, or we're going to trash you for all of history. Which one do you want?
There were some other goodies on Monday night.
There were.
They stuck Hillary in there too.
That's a goodie.
I mean, she gave a good speech, but it makes you wonder if she's just not absolutely furious because she still feels like she should be president. And to sit there and watch someone who is, whatever you want to say about Hillary, she's very smart.
Hillary's a smart person.
Harris, correct. Not so much. And then one of our favorite moments was when Bernie Sanders used to rail against millionaires.
Millionaires and billionaires.
Yes, but until he became one.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, when Bernie Sanders became a millionaire, that got dropped from everything. And now he only rails against billionaires with a capital B as in boy. And then in the deepest of all ironies, he introduces J.B. Pritzker, who is a billionaire.
Yeah. So Bernie's out on stage railing against how bad billionaires are. And here's J.B. Pritzker. And it's like, you know, he's from the Wrigley fortune. Right?
Yes.
He and all his brothers and sisters are billionaires. just to hear that. Yeah, but
someone missed that. I'm sorry.
I actually almost felt bad for Hillary. You know, she's out there giving probably what will be one of her last major addresses, right? Yeah. And she's thinking, my God, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were presidents, you know, if Kamala wins.
And I wasn't.
And they're so effing stupid. They're just not smart people. And Hillary, again, you know, certainly a high intelligence and a hard worker. Whatever you say about Hillary, she will put in the work, no question. But yeah, sad.
Yes. There's one more thing you wanted to mention.
There was. What was really funny was just on night one. Now, of course, we all know Kamala has no platform whatsoever. They mentioned Donald Trump, and not in a favorable light, 147 times in one evening.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody lives in their heads.
Yeah. Night number two was Tuesday, August 20th. I would say this was the star-studded night, right? Because they brought on both Barack and Michelle Obama. What was interesting about this was originally Michelle was scheduled for Tuesday, and Barack was scheduled, President Obama was scheduled for Wednesday. And we have a lot of theories about this, but I think we can easily say they both gave very impassioned speeches.
Yes.
They read off teleprompters really well. Mm-hmm. But we were kind of debating, like, you know, why not spread them out? Because they have so much star power. Was Kamala worried about being upstaged? Did they just literally want to get in and get out? Because everyone knows that Obama's did not want Kamala Harris.
Yeah. I think both of those things you said were correct, that, you know, putting Barack Obama right before her, you know, on the third night out of the four nights
would remind everyone of who she isn't.
Because whatever you say, the Democrats still love Barack Obama. Yes. No question. They absolutely adore Michelle Obama.
They do.
And they figured, you know what, let's get him done. And I'm sure they jetted off
that night
back to their back to Martha's Vineyard. But, you know, what I found kind of fascinating was Michelle in her speech, again, just like Bernie railing against billionaires, and Michelle talking about how rich people are bad, basically, of, you know, when have you had enough, or, you know, are you taking more than you deserve, that her mother used to tell her. Again, does she need to hold up a mirror?
She does. You know? I know. I mean, you are a product of the American dream, and that's a good thing, that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and then what was very interesting is they seem to try to, because Harris, Kamala, whatever, has no platform. They seem to sort of bring back Barack's hope and change mantra, and they're just calling it joy and vibes.
Yes, this is all joy, which of course is saying that was one of their, when Mao Zedong was taking over the country. But they've also, I don't know if you've seen, but, you know, the famous poster of Barack Obama where he's looking up, you know, basically over people, and it's got the hope and change underneath it. They've tried the same thing now with Kamala Harris. Yes. And they've got her looking up and, you know, basically down their nose at the little people. But does a campaign work on a vibe?
Word for Barack. I'm just saying.
It did, but he didn't have a record.
Exactly. The country was ready for change.
Yeah, exactly.
And he wasn't up against it.
There was a no income.
All right. Night number three, Wednesday, August 21st. This was a big night with Bill Clinton, Tim Walz, and Oprah. Let's talk about Bill first.
Bill didn't look good. Bill didn't sound good.
He really seemed elderly.
Yeah.
Which scared me.
His voice has turned.
He and my dad are the same age. Kind of scared me.
Yeah. The hands were shaking a bit. People are
mentally sharp.
Speculating. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mentally.
No question.
Yeah. But no question. He just seemed a lot frailer than he had
did.
In the past.
He did. Yeah. You know, he went on that diet, after he left office.
Yeah.
He lost a bunch of weight. I think he'd had a couple of scares or something.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't look healthy. Doesn't sound healthy. So wish him the best, though.
Walz, tell us about him, because
he accepted the nomination for VP officially. But Tim Walz, to me, always reminds me of Chris Farley.
I don't get this analogy,
because
help the audience.
When
here.
Tim Walz comes out on stage, and when he did several times during this with Kamala, with, you know, and him and his family and things, he's like bouncing off the walls all the time, and his arms are flailing, and he's like jumping around. And it reminds me of like a Chris Farley manic skit, that he's just going crazy.
Maybe he's doing the joy thing, right?
Must be the joy.
It's the joy.
Yes.
And then they brought on their superstar,
sorry,
Oprah.
Bill.
You know, what's interesting is that they tapped Oprah in 2012 when it looked like that Obama was going to have a tough time with his reelection. Mm-hmm. They went back to Oprah because they were having trouble, and Oprah helped get Obama elected in 08. I don't think anyone would argue with that, right?
Question.
She really galvanized her audience. And in 2012, when they came to her to help with the reelection campaign, it was a flat no. She said, I've got a network to save, own her network, the Oprah Winfrey Network. And she did not have anything to do politically in 2012. Mm-hmm. And clearly they're bringing in the big guns. They're a little worried. So they got to bring her in with the hope that Harris will get elected.
And I think it's the black female they want to
reinforce
that with
Yes, but Oprah is a self-made billionaire who came from nothing. To compare her to Kamala Harris in terms of background and upbringing is ridiculous.
I will say, and I can probably say this with authority, that Oprah did not sleep her way into television.
No. And she came from incredibly humble beginnings.
Correct.
Whatever you want to say about Oprah. Yes. So night number four, thank God, last night, Thursday, August 22nd. This was the night that Kamala accepted the nomination. But let's talk about the rumors that were going around on the internet and what you said and what I said.
Yeah. This on the last night, the zenith, the acme, the pinnacle, if you will, right, of the show. And it was a show, and that's fine because that's what these things are. They're productions.
Yes.
But yeah, there was the rumors that there was going to be a major star going to make an appearance and endorse
Kamala Harris. Who did you
Kamala
think
Harris.
It was?
I thought it was going to be Taylor Swift.
Right.
I really did.
And I said, without even going on X, by the way, I thought it would be Beyonce because I didn't think with Oprah the night before and Michelle the night before that, I really felt like they were going with this powerful Black woman theme. So I felt like if they were going to pick a pop star, they would pick Beyonce over Taylor Swift. And then the Beyonce rumor seemed to gain a lot of traction.
Supposedly, this got started with TMZ, the website, the network or whatever.
Oh my God, really?
And I found it quite funny because when listening to the pundits pontificate about it afterward, they're saying, well, this could really hurt TMZ's credibility. And I'm thinking,
what credibility?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If TMZ is credible to you, would it shock me to think that perhaps somebody from the Harris campaign planted that seed at TMZ? That I would not be shocked at all.
Well, Beyonce's team came out and flat out said, we were never even invited.
Yeah.
We were never told. This did not happen. And what was also interesting, and you and I talked about this, they might have floated this rumor to get people to watch earlier because they also put her on much earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she wasn't
on
at midnight Eastern. She was on at like 10 o'clock Eastern or something.
Yeah, they didn't make Kamala wait, which is that's the smart thing to do. No question about that. Now,
everyone was waiting for the pop star to introduce her.
It was, yes.
But,
and also because a few of her rallies before the convention actually started as a concert with a musical guest, and they were pretty big names. So, yeah, that it's not shocking or out of the blue that this could possibly happen.
Right.
So, but they milked it for sure. But to me, I thought she read the teleprompter fine. I think the media had a collective orgasm and that she actually got through a speech.
And she's acting like a challenger, not the incumbent. And she really is as deep.
It is the absolute literal interpretation of incumbent. Yeah.
Yes. You want to wrap this up?
Well, I mean, after 4 days, dozens of speeches. I'm going to say way more. Yeah. Dozens and dozens.
There were lots of other stars that we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
Lots of other stars that they pulled.
But after all of this, nobody in the American public watching has a clue on what she'll do.
No. So that brings us to the next part of our show, Kamala Harris's platform.
But wait, she's going to be joyful not doing anything.
Yes. But let's talk about her platform.
Her platform.
Please introduce it.
Well,
thank you. Or lack thereof.
But she has not given a press conference to date. Now we're talking, I think we're like 30 days in at least.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you launch a presidential campaign, one of the first things you do is you sit down with basically every single person in the press that you can to get your message out.
Okay.
Right? No, has not done it at all. So what we're going to do is just kind of try to piece things together from her speech.
Yes, right. Because there's not a single thing on her website, at least at the time of this recording, about policy, just a chance to chart a new way forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a literal quote from her. We got to chart a new way forward.
All right. So let's talk about the new way. So she talked about creating an opportunity economy.
Yes. How vague.
Yes. You have a name for it.
Yeah. Kamalanomics.
Kamalanomics. Right. That's a little bit of mouthful.
It is. Kamalanomics.
Yeah. Okay, I like it.
Or Kamalanomics probably is better, even though she pronounces it the other way,
yes.
Which people still can't understand.
Yes.
Yes.
So she was very adamant that she personally, the president, will lower the cost of everyday needs like healthcare, housing, and groceries. So I'm going to introduce this sort of subtopic and give you Let's tell our audience how she's going to end America's housing shortage. This is hilarious.
Yeah, well, you know, this is an actual quote from her speech on Thursday night. She's going to lower the cost of everyday needs like healthcare, housing, and groceries. You're vice president right now. Is there some magic plan that you know will lower these things?
Well, maybe this is all going to be executive order. So, but anyway, let's continue.
So she's going to, let's start with housing. So she's going to go with housing. She, as in the federal government, are going to pay for and build 3 million new housing units. Now, when I saw that number, I thought, let's see, they've just spent, I believe it's $7 billion on building 500,000 EV charging stations around the country. And they've completed 8. Okay. But yet we're going to build 3 million houses.
Okay, there's more. So, let's stay on the topic.
Rent control.
Yes.
We're going to institute rent control.
On a federal level somehow.
Yeah, somehow they're going to tell people that you can't raise your rates more than this much per year, whatever, that sort of thing. And then, of course,
and it's my favorite.
The fun one is $25,000 for new home buyers.
I've never bought a home before. Do I qualify for that $25,000?
I would guess you would. Yes. Okay. But, I mean, the basic, when the government artificially increases demand, which doing what they're saying that they want to do is going to do through subsidies, prices will increase. And that is dictated by the law of supply and demand ever since we've been a country. There's no question about that.
Right. It's sort of basic economics. And maybe the government should stay out of housing.
Maybe for, you know, some super low income or veterans or something like, probably more, I would be more for veteran housing, but yeah, the federal government shouldn't be involved in promoting certain builders over others to do certain things.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing before we move on to the next part of her so-called economic plan that's not written down, is not everyone's meant to be a homeowner.
Correct.
Either. For a lot of people, it doesn't make sense that you own your home. And so I think it almost puts this undue pressure on people.
It is. That's a good point because, you know, let's look back real quickly back to 2008. You know, basically from the early 2000s, 4, 5, 6, 7, George W. Bush, he thought the greatest thing was to get as many people in houses as possible because it cements you as a more solid citizen. You have more responsibilities. And
yeah.
But again, exactly what you said, not everybody is meant to have houses. And what did we have? A massive housing crash.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about just about income either. I'm just talking about when you go to buy a house, the whole idea is that you're going to stay there for the next 3 decades. And so anyway, we're going down a rabbit hole. Okay. Let's get back on. So she, I would call this part of her economic plan, class war through taxation.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the tower audience, all these tax increases that she's going to do that are going to definitely work.
Yeah, now this is nothing that she has said, but she'll have her campaign like send a memo to somebody. Right. So she wants to increase the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%.
All that means is more companies will go offshore.
And right. Let's dig down on this just a hair though, because corporations, although they actually pay a tax, corporations don't pay taxes. They pass on taxes in the price of their goods. All right. So
they do pay taxes, but in order to do so,
pass the cost on to the consumer.
Exactly.
So they'll technically write the check.
They do pay taxes.
Yes. But not, we're the ones paying the corporations to pay their taxes.
Or they'll just move offshore. They'll leave you at the U.S.
Right.
Soil.
Right. But think about this. So, you know, she's talking about, price controls on groceries and all kinds of things like that. So imagine you're a corporation. They're going to increase your taxes from 21 to 28%, but they're only letting you charge a certain amount for your product and you can't go over that. So they're increasing your expenses. They're not letting you increase any margins.
Okay, I think
what's it going to lead to? Shortages. People are going to stop. Companies are going to stop producing things because there's no reason to keep producing something if you're not going to make any money.
Okay.
FYI.
But let's continue.
Shall we?
Bullet number two. What's his tax?
Capital gains. Yes. So the income that you make from a capital gain purchase is at 20% right now. Okay. She wants to increase it to 44.6%.
I really wonder how she got that number. Like, what economists pull that number out?
Let's increase it more than 2 times of what it is already, or double the expense. I mean, it's hard to to believe how stupid this is. That
Well, the next one's my favorite. I'm just going to interrupt you.
Yes, go right ahead.
Unrealized gains tax on high net worth individuals from 0 to 25%. Now these are unrealized gains.
That's the key phrase right there. Unrealized.
Let's explain that to people what that means if they don't know what that means.
Sure.
In layman's terms. Can you give a story?
Let's say you've got a piece of art that you bought as an investment.
Yes.
Real simple.
Okay.
You paid $100,000 for that piece of art.
Right.
The next year, the government tells you that that went up to $150,000 in value.
In value.
You're still hanging on your wall.
Right.
But they want to tax you on that extra $50,000.
That is crazy.
They want
people.
You to pay that right up front.
That is crazy.
Now, what happens when next year, it goes to crap and it's now worth zero?
Yeah.
Do you now get a $150,000 tax credit? This is, to me, this is like the CPA Accountant Employment Act of 2024, right? That it'll be so difficult to understand and to do. Everybody's going to have to hire. Everything that you own out there, if you've got baseball cards, right, they're in your basement. Guess what? The government wants you to, list that as an asset, and they want to tax you on that asset. So anytime you hear unrealized gains, that's on everything.
It is on everything. It's terrible.
Yeah, that is to me is the stupidest idea they could come up with.
Yes. Also promising a middle-class tax cut.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, and because we know how infamous and famous the Dems are for cutting taxes. Okay, folks, this is an election season conversion, right? When inmates are on death row and they all come to Jesus, right?
Okay, that's a good analogy.
I'm getting close to the election. Oh crap, what are we gonna do? Tax cuts for only the middle class. Yeah, okay. But I find it kind of interesting because it's almost like they're just throwing crap up against the wall.
And sticks.
Yeah, there is really, no narrative. The only narrative is joy. Right. Yeah. Okay. That's something that's a winner.
All right. So we're going to switch gears again. And I do want to apologize to our audience for the coughing and the drinking of water that I'm sure you can hear. Just trying to keep my voice till the end. But the second biggest story last week or this past week was Robert F. Kennedy Jr. suspending his campaign, so RFKJ for short, and endorsing Donald Trump. Whoa, that is huge.
A biggie, yes. for sure.
So he really blasted the Democrats for their hypocrisy on democracy because they have done everything possible to keep him off the ballot.
Oh, no question. And, on a more personal side, you just finished reading a book, a month ago?
Yeah. So, less than a month ago.
On the Kennedys.
Yes. Ask Not. And it's all about how the Kennedys treat their women. And
the Kennedy men.
Yes. Yes,
of which he is one.
And he's in the book, too. And yes. Wow. Highly recommend the book. But
not a glowing look at RFK Jr., is it?
No, it's not. Not on a personal level, even
correct.
If you agree with his politics.
Yes.
Yes. So I think you have a quote here from RFKJ. Would you like to share it?
Well, he actually gave a really good impassioned speech. I watched part of it, but he said, how did the Democratic Party choose a candidate that has never done an interview or debate during the entire election cycle?
A fucking mess.
Yeah.
How? And I think, there's this great quote by a Naismin who says, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Mm-hmm. And I see this through the lens of how long I've been sick. When I first started with the head cold, Biden was still going to be the nominee. Harris was like, if we lose Biden, we can't use Harris. Absolutely. How fast things changed. And then 2 weeks later, it was Biden was out. And then all of a sudden they embraced Kamala. Like it was such a quick turnaround. And again, this is seeing things as we are. And I literally can mark it back from when I first got this cold. And I've been sick ever since. So in the last 6 weeks has been completely chaotic.
So are you telling me that Democrats got you sick?
Is that where we're going with this? No,
okay.
I'm just saying that I'm measuring it in my own way, in my own weird way, because this is clearly my summer of being sick. And it's just crazy to me that 6 weeks ago, Biden was still on the ticket. Everybody was worried, but even when they were like this back, you know, this chatter was like,
they were whiteboarding,
Kamala.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. They were like, we can't have Kamala. It's gotta be somebody else. Yes. It's gotta be somebody else.
Yeah. Her ratings are lower than his. God, yes. Who can we come up with? How about Michelle? How about this?
Instead,
how about that?
They just completely.
Oh, she's like the second coming. She's Joan of Arc. She's, you know, Margaret Thatcher all rolled into one.
And I want to say one more thing before you talk about what the Democrats have done to some other candidates, because it's not just RFKJR.
Thanks. How's that?
RFKJ. Oh, my God. What's really interesting was he said he's going to take his name off the ballot in 10 battleground states. Now, I counted. I thought there were only 7, but okay. But 10 battleground states, he's going to take his name off the ballot because he really thinks those votes would go to Trump. He's going to keep his name on the ballot in the other 40 states, I think, to kind of show more the popular vote. Is that my understanding?
Exactly. So he knows that if his name stays on the ballot in these other states, the heavy blue, no, not battleground states. Oh. So they're going to draw more popular vote from Kamala Harris.
Got it.
But in the battlegrounds, he wants to send that message out to his people. I'm off the ballot. Vote for Trump.
Yeah.
Versus the ones that aren't battlegrounds. He's saying, if you still want to vote for me, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. And they haven't done this just to him.
No, they haven't. You know, they did everything possible to get rid of RFK Jr., out of the Democrats, and they drove him out of the party pretty much.
Yes, they did.
But Jill Stein, and she's running as the Green Party, and Cornel West, Angry Black Man Party.
Is he running as the Libertarian?
No, he's not the Libertarian, okay, but anyway. He's a professor.
I know who he is, yeah. But I didn't know.
But these two are serious contenders in terms of picking up third party votes in these
Jill
states.
Stein's done it before.
Big time. Yeah. And the Democrats are now doing everything in their power to get them off the ballots in most of these battleground states. So, you know, again, democracy. Yes, because democracy to them is let's get everybody off the ballot and we'll win. Yay.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Are we done with all that fun stuff?
We are. Let's hope this next week. I'm always hoping as an American for a boring week. I hope for an exciting week as you know, doing this podcast, but yeah, no telling. So we will see.
Yes. Okay. So we have a This Week in WTF, and this one you're going to introduce.
This is a fun one here from our good friend, Kylie Stevens at the Daily Mail Australia. Crikey.
All right.
I'll say it. Yeah.
Okay.
Woman, headline, woman who was allegedly filmed performing a sex act with a live brown trout. On a boat, faces court.
So the trout's fish. We're talking about, yes, we do mean fish.
Let me go to the story, shall we?
Yes, please.
A woman who was allegedly filmed performing a sex act on a live trout has appeared in court for the first time. Catherine June Lee, 58, from the Hobart suburb of Howden, faces 3 charges in relation to bestiality material allegedly produced between February 2022, January 2023. Anyway, I guess, did she do it more than once? I don't know.
Yes.
So she is charged with 1 count of possession of a bestiality product and 2 counts of making or reproducing a bestiality product.
What product? Oh my God.
It says police allege the disturbing film showed Lee lying on a boat at sea somewhere near Tasmania's South Sea, I guess, as her male co-accused used a live brown trout to perform a sex act on her. The footage depicted sexual activity between Lee and the trout, court documents.
I'm sorry, I don't want to get gross, but how are you using a fish to perform a sex act?
So I did Google, does a trout have teeth? And yes, they do. I'm going to guess it's some sort of oral copulation.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Oh,
God, that's so weird. It's so gross.
It's beyond. Yeah, yes. So.
I mean, I love eating fish, but yeah, eating them, not. Yeah.
I could make so many jokes on this.
I know.
They just write themselves. Yeah.
Give us one.
But I just love if she goes to prison, right? What are you in for? Yeah, you know, I had a fish there and yeah, it was horny. You know? So, crikey.
And you said, so
there's a co-defendant. Yes. He was the captain of the ship or the boat, if you will.
Okay.
Yes. He was, uh, he was participating.
Well, someone has to hold the fish.
Well, I guess you could still hold, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
Shall we move along?
Moving on to our favorite segment, the one we always do. We don't always have a This Week in Wins or This Week in WTF, but we always have a This Week in Woke. This is from our friend James Reinald. I believe I'm saying that right. The Daily Mail. Here's the headline. The Western state where migrants get $30,000 home buyer grants, but citizens are excluded. Now, you remember earlier we were just talking about Kamala with giving home buyers grants. So Oregonians have reacted angrily to a taxpayer-funded scheme that doles out $30,000 for non-legal migrants.
Wait, for who?
Non-legal migrants, illegal immigrants, to buy homes, but excludes U.S. citizens. So the Hacienda Community Development Corporation, it's a Latino-led group in Portland, says in a promotion that it's...
And that is where the live stream gave out. So we hope you enjoyed what you heard of the show. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening right now. And go to myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show. To learn more about us, get on our mailing list, and to review the show. Thank you.